Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
And here is what's happening Tuesday, November 20th on this edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Brady Wright, rat rod builder and welding student with master mechanic and metal butcher Shane Osborne. Not here, as usual, doing his best ninja impression because he is not to be seen. And Steve, the producer, Johan, the only man in Washington who can correctly spell Ohanapakash.
Don't ask me to do that.
He doesn't know where it is, but he can spell it. Back to the blacktop is first. We got all kinds of things happening in the automotive world, and Steve has some of them here before us as we speak.
Well, I'm going to adjust to my new glasses. I got some new glasses, and they are the transitional. So
how come I've they got, only have one lens in the middle of your head?
I know. And as a matter of fact, I got to go get them adjusted.
It's a good look. When we do YouTube, this is going to be great.
It will. It will be. It'll see the little bald spot in the back of my head.
No, you see my entire bald spot on my head.
Well, GM is in the news this week. We can do with this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way.
Oh, let's go for it.
That was the question essentially posed to thousands of General Motors Company white-collar employees as GM's management is looking for at least 7,000 individuals to accept an early retirement buyout as part of the automaker's proactive cost-cutting measures. Now, do you think the CEOs and the top brass are taking any pay cuts?
Well, no.
Of course not.
No.
Those selected to participate in the plan have until noon Monday to decide.
Jeez,
that said, early
great.
Reports suggest that the company is going to get a little over half of its target, which means that GM will likely be laying off people in the near future to get their complete entire target number.
So let me understand this. Happy Thanksgiving. Monday, you leave.
That's right.
That's just...
This is going to be before Christmas.
It's
you know, there's
it's the company
how
with
many
a heart,
stories have you
it?
Heard about Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, here's your pink slip.
Oh, stories. Listen, I spent 20 years in the radio business. I've been fired by experts. You don't even want to know.
and all the contracts that run out at a certain time.
Yeah.
And the contract exclusively says, Brady, you cannot say anything on air about your last day being on the air.
That's right.
So then you just disappear.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
To greener pastures.
Well, or the unemployment line, depending on...
You notice how it's always... Well,
I'll be filing on Monday.
Pursuing other interests.
Yes, like where I'm going to get my next can of chili.
Well...
That sucks, you know, especially since a few years ago we bailed out GM.
I know.
Well... Fine. What does that mean for the new Corvette?
I don't know. We will find out. We will find out as for the FedEx Corporation has announced that it will be adding 1,000 battery-powered electric vans to its fleet.
Oh, I've seen this.
As part of a commitment to reduce both energy consumption and vehicle emissions. But guess where those vans are made?
India.
China.
Oh, well, that's close.
I guess GM didn't
Asia.
GM didn't get the memo that they could have. No, they don't make electric vans, do they?
They would have had to retool the Corvair plant. I don't think
You
know,
so.
I've seen there's some articles on Facebook with pictures of these electric things. They look kind of cool. They're kind of like jitneys, you know?
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe it's a thing.
Well, it's interesting because they're bringing them from China of all places. I mean, but the Mercedes doesn't have a Sprinter. No, they don't. So there you go. They're looking to bring in the back. I'm just starting to name off all the manufacturers. I'm like, well, they went with somebody who has a battery-powered van. And Chinese.
Sure. They're not very big, though.
No.
You've seen them.
Well, they're not the size of a Sprinter, are they?
No, they're half the size.
Yeah.
They look more like one of those ice cream trucks, the pedal-powered ice cream trucks, except they've got a motor. But
well, then these are not going to be like their major big haulers. It's going to be
They're going to carry light stuff.
Light stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the very popular Toyota RAV4. How long ago do you think that thing came out?
Oh, 20 years?
Yes, over 20 years.
Yeah, easily.
Do you know it is still one of the most popular vehicles in that category?
Yeah, yeah.
And they are actually had one of their best, their sales doubled in the last 5 years.
I think it's still one of the top five
yep.
in the compact crossover or SUV.
We
category?
Talk every week about the crossover, the SUV market, the whole bye-bye of the sedans.
That's where the
and
dollars
all
are.
And, you know, my wife's got one of these things. It's a Mitsubishi. Hers is. And she loves it. It's just great. And when it's snowing or muddy or whatever, she does a lot of driving to clients. And she just loves it. And me, I like my old Astro. It works just great. And it's all-wheel drive.
Yes, it is.
And I've even taken it out to the, of all places, Navajo Reservation down and did the tour out and about into the
hinterlands. Into the valley there, yeah.
Yes. And it did just fine. It's amazing.
Well, it would. It's going uphill that you're going to run into the overheating.
A little bit,
issues.
Yeah. But after watching a 40-foot RV doing it, I thought, I can do it.
Yeah, sure. That's good.
And another thing I did come across, what is the first thing you notice about a new car when you get in it?
The smell. The smell. New car smell.
Now, do you like that new car smell?
Yeah, for the 2 days that it lasts. I mean, it's kind of cool.
It is.
Somebody makes... air freshener that is new car smell, and it doesn't smell anything like a new car. I'm sorry.
You know, there are people that make candles that smell like motor oil burning. I can't believe it.
Why wouldn't
they
you
do.
Just burn motor oil? You
I
do
know.
That.
Anyhow, here's the situation. The big move is to try to remove as much of that as possible because Chinese buyers of new cars do not like the new car smell, and they complain about
what?
It. They complain about the odor and the noxious fumes that comes off all the materials that are in there as it's off-gassing. And so Ford has come up with this great patent thing that they've done with their cars are going to do soon.
I know what it is. I know what it is.
What?
They're going to sell them used cars.
No.
Then there won't be a new... No.
All it right. has an automatic system that drives your car into the sunshine, parks it, rolls down the window for just a little bit, heats it up, runs the heater... For however long, the sensor says, okay, the off-gassing is done, and it shuts the car off. Can you believe that?
Does this seem a little bit Rube Goldberg to you?
It does.
Why would they? Well, okay.
I thought, if that's the case, I'm going to take my new car, I'm going to go sit in the sun, and yet even though it's going to be winter here and it's overcast, I'm going to go park in the sun, I'm going to turn on the heater, roll up everything except for about 2 inches of the windshield, and I'm going to let it cook for about 4 hours like that.
This is the answer to a question nobody asked.
I know. You got to just, what?
And whose plan is this now?
This is Ford.
Ford. Well,
Ford.
Okay.
New patent.
I guess.
Just patent.
These are the same guys that gave up on sedans so they can make SUVs. Okay.
And we've got a car dealership
I'm on record as saying I hate this.
In the studio, so we'll get his feedback on that later on.
I don't think that's going to be a thing.
No.
I think this is another Edsel in the making.
I think so, too. It automatically parks the car into the sun.
Well, that's technology, fine.
That's great. But
for the purpose of burning off the new car smell, it's like, well, come on.
And
you
if you're selling
that story
a new car
purpose,
from let's say from October all the way through March in the non sunny climates, what are they going to do there?
Well, I don't know.
We're going to put a big heat lamp on the car, and then we're going to turn the heater on. Oh my God!
Why would we
anyway?
Do that? You picked that story on purpose.
I did because
that's a
ridiculous
story.
And speaking of Ford Motor Company, they're recalling 38,000 SUV and pickups as part of a 4 individual recalls covering problems involving seats, airbags, fuel system components, and transmissions. So Ford's really doing some good stuff these days.
Yeah, well, if they bring in all those cars with the recalls, they can bottle the used car smell from those and pump it into the new.
They can add their little patent program here.
It's way more complicated than it needs to be.
It's just unbelievable. I thought, you know, when you read these things, you come across these and these are real things. You're like, this is like Tesla Kila. You know, this is just right up there with Tesla Kila.
Tesla Kila, stop.
God.
Just stop.
Just too much for me.
Well, why not?
So I'm like, it's too much.
What else you got?
Well, I did come across a really cool thing. If we talked a lot about SEMA.
Yeah.
And car builder results come in. Kyle Tucker was crowned winner of the 5th annual SEMA Battle of the Builders.
Oh, yeah. I saw the
with
there's
his
a thing
69
on
Chevy Camaro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's and, the online. Nice car.
Just a nice car. So congratulations to Kyle. Maybe we'll work to get him on the show.
That'd be cool. I just want to test drive it. Today's trivia question is coming
be
up.
Part of it.
Yeah, yeah. We got a chat also with Greg Urban and Mike Daniels on a very exciting show coming up later in the year. All of that and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Oh, we're four-wheeling back with the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Time for the windshield view, where we look out and see what the heck has been going on around the area. This week, actually, we did get some feedback from our story last week about the Scroungers Car Club. Following that story on the Facebook page and on several of the internet chat things, the guys from the Scroungers were very pleased with how that thing went down. And they are in the process. This is a worldwide car club, in case you didn't hear last week's show. They are in the process of creating a board of directors for all of the chapters, and they're moving some metal over there. They're creating kind of an overview board for all of the chapters, and there's even some Nomad chapters that didn't have full representation that are going to get a seat on the board, and they're making some serious moves. 2019 is going to be a good year for the Scroungers, so it was fun to see all that stuff happen. Yeah,
it was, and we're going to move on to our guests here shortly. But I wanted to, maybe we'll bring the guys in on this one. But
what do you got?
I'm going to put your mic up to your mouths, there, guys.
Oh yes. Oh, we're actually going to do that?
Well, they can chime in on this. But
well, if we're going to do that, then we might as well just go ahead and introduce them.
Okay.
Let me tell you who we got.
Yes,
here today.
Let's do that.
Because one of the things that people build cars for is to show them. And car shows by themselves are a really cool part of the sport. There's always there from the show and shines and the sitting in the parking lot at the local, you know, Tasty Freeze to seriously organized car shows and big things like Good Guys and stuff like that. There's a way that you can get your car, you know, shared. You can share your hobby, share the experience. And one of the ones locally that we like to talk about is the Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show, which changed the name to And Motorcycle this last year.
Did you get any motorcycles to show up, by the way?
We had a couple, yeah, and it'd been the first year. You couldn't expect it. But with us is Greg Urban. Greg is the president of the Edmunds Chamber of Commerce, which is the sponsoring entity for the show. Greg, welcome.
Welcome, thank you.
And also Mike Daniels is here. Mike is the social media manager and sales guru for Doug's Hyundai, which is one of the sponsors of the show, but longtime sponsor for the show, as a matter of fact, although I have to say, Mike, you're very welcome to be here. Glad to have you. This is Mike's very first podcast experience.
It is. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you guys are here.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question. Do you guys remember the Maverick?
The car?
Yes.
Are you talking about James Garner?
No.
Yes, we remember the car.
I think James Garner and Maverick was an incredibly cool show. And but
ladies and gentlemen, tangent coming. No.
But the Maverick, do you know what year it was introduced?
Let's see.
Didn't know this. I just learned this.
I want to say 72, 74?
No.
Am I
you
wrong?
Guys, do you can you remember?
No.
No.
Was that before your time?
No, that's before my time.
Okay. Okay.
He was in grade school. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it actually came out in April of 69.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. I can buy
it. I didn't realize it had come out that early, but yeah. It introduces new compact two-door sedan with a sleek fastback styling designed to counter the sales threat posed by none other than, who do you think?
The Vega.
No.
No, Maverick. It was a little bigger than the Vega.
Volkswagen Beetle.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
69. So that was, it
That's
wasn't
when
the
Volkswagen was really taking off.
Well, it was, but it wasn't the Super Beetle yet.
No.
Okay.
But they were trying to counteract that. And
so, what's yours, your Volkswagen? Greg's got one.
That was a 68.
So yours is a 68.
68 was the year that they really got
that's super,
high production.
Super Bug?
Yeah, so Super Beetles didn't start until 70.
Right, okay, no, but 68, 69 was like when everything just kicked in overdrive. Yeah.
What year is yours?
68.
68, okay, that's what I thought.
And so what's really interesting is that the first year when the Maverick came out, 127,833 units were sold the first year.
You remember what they cost?
No, but it overdid the Mustang by over 1,000 units.
Well, yeah, they overproduced them.
No, oversold.
Yeah.
Sold more than Mustang.
Yeah.
And
but it was a cheaper car, too.
It was, but guess what platform it was built off of.
What platform?
Yes.
69.
Had something in common with Mustang.
It was a different car from the Falcon.
Mm,
or was it the Falcon chassis?
It was the Falcon, and they just shortened it by about 3 inches.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing?
It was body
just
on frame.
Just what the Mustang, they did the same thing with that.
Yeah.
It had the 170 cubic inch inline six-cylinder.
Yep, yep. I
used
that.
In the Falcon as well.
Yeah.
Rated 105 horsepower and reportedly combined 22.5 miles per gallon.
It was an economy car. It was supposed to be a small economy car. That was more economical than the Mustang. And the Mustang wasn't ever built to be a performance car until much later, the 69, basically. When they first started, it was an economy car.
But
it wasn't a competition for the Corvette at all.
No, but things changed because by 71, they came out with their 302 V8.
Which is a scary motor in that car, yeah.
And 210 horsepower, but a lot of torque. And, of course, as you all know, many people took that engine and really hot-rodded it up. And there were some pretty fast Mavericks later on in the 70s. That was like the little sleeper car that everybody had.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Somebody made a gasser out of one in the 70s.
Yes.
And used to run it down at Seattle International.
That's right.
Raceway.
It was there was a number of drag cars doing it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Now, GM did respond with their Vega in 1971.
That's when it was. Okay. I would have said 70.
Yep. And then, interestingly enough, another smaller car was the Ford Capri, which came out in 69.
Well, that was a European car. I mean, it was they borrowed the body from Europe.
It did. And if are you familiar with any British TV? Do you watch any of that stuff?
Used to. Yeah, haven't for a while.
Ever heard of The Sweeney?
The Sweeney?
The Sweeney.
No.
Okay. The Sweeney was an incredibly cool crime drama in the early 70s in Britain. John Thaw was the star in it.
Never
and
heard.
And very gritty. Swinging 60s, early 70s stuff. And they featured the Capri running around. That was like the big car. It's cool.
Right-hand drive Capri.
But when did both Vega and Maverick quit production?
Same year. Oh, yeah, you're killing me now. Yeah, I don't.
Year before I graduated.
I couldn't pull it up.
77.
99?
77.
No, I'm sorry, what? I couldn't pull it up. 77, okay.
That's a short run for a car.
I was married to my first wife. Never mind.
Well, I just found this very interesting because, you know, I thought it was something that came in mid-70s, early 70s, and
it rolled out
in 69.
There in those times,
And it was a very short-lived vehicle. It didn't last very long, and then they moved on.
There's still a ton of them out there.
They are.
You can find them.
And if you do like, there's a recent show that was called Life on Mars, the UK version, not the American version, and they feature, it's a throwback to the Sweeney, and incredibly cool show.
Jeez.
I love TV, I love British, but anyway.
Well, apparently so. Well, listen, we have these two wonderful fellows here that actually are here to talk about a car show. I bet you that at some point or another in the history of the 18-year history of the Edmunds Classic, there's probably been Mavericks and Capris and other cars.
Capris
there.
Capris were cool little cars.
Well, the criteria things. For the show yeah. has always been 30 years old or older. So every year, of course, we add another year.
Oh, and, I didn't know that. 30
yeah,
years?
30 years. Well, it's a classic car show.
30 years is classic. So.
Yeah.
The date keeps moving up on us.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's getting scary.
A couple of years ago, there was a guy who said that he had a, it was a kit car. I'll think of it in a minute. Anyway, it was an 85, but the motor was an 87. And he said, well, I can't, you know. And I said, the car was 85. You put a new motor in it. It works. You can. He says, oh, well, that's great.
That's right. My son's
Griffin, I think.
Crown Vic, yeah. 89 Crown Vic would classify.
That's
next
right.
Next year.
That's right.
Although he's selling it. So if anybody wants
somebody,
a Crown Vic.
Somebody will buy it and they can put it in the show.
Just Facebook us.
So this show is actually, it's kind of a cool show. And I want to talk about it a little bit. What sets the Edmunds Classic apart from other shows in the area? Because there's a ton of car shows around the Northwest.
Well, I mean, it's set in the downtown core of Edmunds. It's a fantastic location.
Right.
Unlike the Greenwood show, which is 5 miles long, and you walk from one end to the other,
yeah,
and then I got to work your way back. This one, it's nice and compact. There's
yeah.
multiple streets. It kind of radiates out from the fountain of downtown, and a fun event for
I got to jump in here because I just realized our time is running up.
Or are we? Well, that's okay. We'll talk about more of this when
we come
back.
So hang with us. We got more of the guys, our guests here, and. Well, we've got a great story coming up too, a little later.
Oh, we do.
Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored four-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Attention men, under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
More horsepower, chrome, and rust after these messages.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Welcome back to the third segment of the show, and this week we get a history lesson on how one of the best car shows in the Puget Sound got started and what it has in store for the future. Welcome Greg Urban from Edmunds Chamber of Commerce and Mike Daniels of Doug's Hyundai, one of the key sponsors of the show. That's Doug's Hyundai. Doug is like a longtime dealership owner here in the Northwest.
Well, Doug's has several.
They right. have several dealerships.
Doug's has been doing this since 1972.
That's
they
right.
have Doug's Mazda, yeah. Doug's Hyundai, Sunday, Monday, Hyundai.
There you go.
So, and then also Doug's Cadillac. Yeah. So they've been doing it for a long
they
time.
They did have Dodge, did they not?
No.
No, they. We're actually in the Dodge building right now. But we're moving. They're remodeling the Mazda store right now and building
right.
that one. And so we're going to be moving down where the Mazda store is now, and they're going to have their own building. So
it's
got a lot
nice.
Going on with our dealership.
Okay, okay.
Cool.
I'm a double threat too because I've got a Cadillac and I've got a Mazda. So
oh, there we go.
And my son,
I just need to buy a Hyundai.
I just got to buy a Hyundai. Yeah, there you go.
My son bought the Hyundai, and he just was over there for I don't know, a $30,000 or something check-in. So.
It cost
anyways,
$30,000 to get a check.
Yes.
Thought you guys were cheaper.
So
than
we
that.
Were talking on the other hand, on the other side of the break, and we were talking about kind of like what makes this a very unique show from the other shows in the area. And we were mentioning Greenwood, which is a landmark show in the area, but it is a very long distance walk.
Yeah, the nice thing about the Edmonds show is it is in a nice small quaint downtown core.
Yeah.
Set on Puget Sound. So even after the show, there's plenty to do, walk, and see.
Well, plus it's all basically level.
Yeah.
You know, it covers six or seven blocks, you know, depending on which ends of the sides of the street you go on. But, yeah, it's all pretty much level. So there's great access. There's, you know, there's no that's the one thing we talk about the Greenwood only because it's one long street. But it's all uphill.
Yeah.
I mean, it's miles uphill. And then you got to come back down. So which end do you park on, you know? Do you want to?
One of the things I was wondering is how has that been received by the businesses down there? Because you have several restaurants and coffee shops and that kind of thing. Do they like it?
They do. Actually, the show originally started out on a Saturday.
Right.
And after many years of running the show on Saturdays, you know, the merchants were saying it was congesting and kind of knocking out their regular clientele. And so we looked at it and changed it to a Sunday, not typically their busiest of days. And it's actually helped to bring in a lot of new business with 6,000 to 8,000 people coming down to the show, businesses staying open, you know, places to eat, places to get coffee. It's an influx of new business for the merchants.
And do you find that people come down there maybe from out of the area and then they go, God, this is a nice little town, and then want to come back for other reasons?
Yeah, we do. We've got, you know, some of the guys that are coming from the show or for the show with their cars are coming out from Wenatchee. They're coming out from, you know, central Washington.
Yeah.
And you always get the great comments on, you know, it's a great show that they really like the atmosphere. They like the ambiance of the show. And they feel like it's a place they can walk away from their car and not worry too much about it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, and that's important because in previous years, I don't want to say that you're constantly, you know, focused on just classic cars. But, you know, some of these guys that have some of the older vehicles, they're pretty much, I mean, you use the term trailer queen, but they're really, really nice cars that don't see light of day very often. And those are cars that you don't want to have somebody get too awful close. The Edmonds Show has a really good reputation for making sure that everybody's, you know, respectful and stays away. But, you know, and some of the other venues, the Customs with a K, the Rat Rod guys, the Gasser guys, the Competition guys, they come down too, and, you know, they have just as much fun as long as their car is 30 years old or older. And people love to see those cars. There's a whole contingent of guys that come with old antique Volvos, and the Volkswagen guys are usually pretty well represented, and the Rat Rod guys are coming more and more. Really excited about this coming year, about, you know, the possibility of getting more motorcycles. And fortunately, thankfully, we have some excellent sponsorship. Doug's, of course, is one of them. It has been a sponsor for a long time, but it's really cool that there's that much you know, community involvement by, you know, one of the, we say local businesses. My name Doug's is a pretty good size.
So has Hyundai got a car that is old enough to bring down there?
Hyundai making cars 30 years ago?
No, the first Hyundai was 1987.
That's,
well, there you go.
Right. That was,
bring
yeah,
one down.
So. Can you get a hold of one of those?
I know, I don't know if any of those are still running. That was garbage, I'll be honest with you. That was hard to overcome that little black eye from that car,
gotta
I'll tell
be,
you what.
I remember.
Gotta be one in Korea someplace, come on.
Oh, there probably is. There's, I'm sure, but there's. I don't think I've seen one. The 18 years now I've been with. I haven't seen one in a long,
a
long time.
A friend of mine in the early 90s bought one of those used, and it was like one of these. Hey, I got this really good deal on it, and he ran it, and then it quit running. Okay, now I'm going to go get a really good deal on a really old Honda. And it was like one of these kind of guys where he would just run something. You'd buy it. It was already falling apart. He'd run it in the ground. And then, and it was like, everybody's like, do you really want to buy that car?
No, like, it was amazing. As bad as if you would buy it on Friday and you're on the shop on Monday.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. So that's what's exciting about being with Hyundai right now is how far they've come.
Yeah.
They've actually surpassed Honda, which is that was like the standard bearer of what quality was. And now if you look at J.D. Power and Associates, Hyundai is actually above them in so many categories. It's unbelievable.
Is it not one of the first to offer the 100,000-mile warranty on there?
Yeah, that's
10-year?
The thing is they stand behind their product. So not only is the quality good, but they stand behind it with that 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, which is really good peace of mind.
Is it the Santa Fe or one of the SUVs? It's in the top five in the category of all of the available SUVs. It seems to me Hyundai is Motor Trend and Consumer Reports both listed as one of the top five.
But yeah, that's right. It's a Santa Fe. Compare the Santa Fe, especially now, the 2019 was redesigned.
Yeah.
So for the base model, they have safety features on that that you would see only on like Highline vehicles.
It's real nice.
Which is crazy. Yeah. For the money that you pay for, it's unbelievable, really.
Well, and you've got your really cool car. What is that really exotic?
The Veloster N.
Yes.
That's the one that everybody wants.
Are you going to have like a separate area in your new showroom where you can kind of have that? Because when I come down there, I was like,
he just wants to drive.
Where is it? I don't see these things.
Because
your showroom's really small where you're at. And, but I thought, you got to have a thing where you can actually showcase that thing.
We won't have a chance. We actually just got our first plug-in vehicle. We Washington State hasn't got any of the plug-ins, but we traded with a dealership down in Oregon. They wanted one of our vehicles, so we made them give them electric vehicle back to us.
Nice.
And we had it only for 3 hours from when it got to our dealership to when somebody was in there buying. It was 3 hours. So I anticipate the Veloster N is going to be the same way.
Yes.
So if you're wanting to just kind of come see it, You're gonna have to buy it to see it.
Well, now one of the other cars that Hyundai's doing really well with is a Genesis. I mean, it's pretty much a standard bearer in that category.
The Genesis is its own brand now.
Yeah,
it's not a Hyundai anymore.
But,
so
well,
it's like
know,
how
it came
Lexus
out of that
is separated.
Well,
from,
are you going to have a separate building? Well, actually, a different dealership that actually handles that.
They need to. Right now, we're running it out of the Hyundai building. But frankly, I think with a Highline product, it needs to have its own dealership. It needs to have its own image, its own feel to
it. Just like Dodge did with the Ram trucks.
So there should be no compromise on that car.
Yeah.
No apologies. So if you want to ask about the price, then maybe you should go get a Hyundai. it needs to have that air about it.
Right.
So I know that at the show, at the Edmunds Classic, Doug's has several different locations. I mean, each mark has a particular area. What kind of exposure, do you get by being a sponsor down there?
Well, we get tremendous exposure. It's amazing to see people when you interact with them at the show, because car dealerships kind of have a mystique about them that I think is intimidating to a lot of people. So for them to be able to just see us outside of the dealership and come up to us and talk to us and interact with us and realize that we're just normal people like they are, we're not scary.
People.
We're not villains. We're just people.
Just car people.
So, and then that really lets them drop their guard and talk to us and get to know us. So being able to get out to the community like that is really a blessing, actually, get outside of our four walls and
so it feels like. Would you recommend that kind of thing? Because when I go to other car shows, sometimes I don't see the other like new cars, and that's one thing that's very appealing to the Edmunds Car Show is you have a number of dealerships, brands down there. And would you recommend that to a non-competing car show for other dealerships to do that kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. I think that is a great way to just meet your community and be a part of, if somebody is into cars, they're going to go to the car show. So what better place for you to be? That's your product. So, it just seems like it's a perfect marriage.
And have you found that it works really well to?
The first year or two that we started doing that, we got pushback from the actual car show participants because they're like, why are you putting these brand new cars in the prime downtown spot near the fountain, which we get guys coming out at midnight.
Really?
They come out at midnight, park in the registration line, and sleep in their car so they can be near the fountain.
Wow.
And so when we started putting and giving priority to our sponsors like Doug's and putting Cadillac right near the fountain and Mazda, they were complaining about, hey, those prime spots are now taken. And I tell them the registration fee is as low as it is because of our sponsors and their contribution to make sure that the show can happen.
Well, plus, the way the Edmunds show, and it's not the only car show that does this. But when you have a show that covers multiple city blocks, there's kind of, as long as the thing is easy access no matter which direction you go, there's kind of no bad spots.
We tell them that and they still don't listen.
Well, yeah, but I mean, people say the center of town is a thing. But the fact is, whether it's, you know, a new Hyundai or a new Cadillac or somebody's, you know, 57 Tri-5 or something, the cars are all together. And if you are interested in one and not interested in another, you just take, you know, walk 20 feet and there's another vehicle. The advantage, I think, for the new car dealerships is that their cars are there. They're accessible. They're right in front of you. You can walk over. You can get in them. Just like a lot of the guys that bring their customs, and especially the Rat Rod guys, you want to go sit in it? Go sit in it. It's fine. They take pictures, and it's a different kind of experience, maybe a lot more friendly from the standpoint of a new vehicle. Like, just go play with it. That's what it's there for.
Exactly. There's no threat of having to buy the car because you're at a car show. So
you'd like to sit here, sir? Let me hold your wallet.
Let's go on a test drive real quick. let's leave your family for a minute. We'll be right back. So be able to crawl through the vehicle and ask questions, but not have that anxiety, I think, goes a long ways with the community for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, I would think that I've never entered a car. Someday when my car's completely redone, I will enter into a car show.
There you will.
And I would really, quite frankly, not care.
That's not a restriction. We've had people actually bring non-running cars in pieces and enter them
into
the show.
But I can say that being at the very tail end is not a good spot. So in the center is a better spot because more people congregate down there. And I understand. But to be in all honesty, I think it's nice to give prime to people that are paying for a spot because, if somebody pays sponsorship for my show,
the one nice thing about being down at the end where the dragsters were is that every time those things fire up, people go to that area.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's, again, sure, if you're all the way out, but you know what? People come to a car show to see every car. They're going to walk around and see every car. And there's sort of not a bad place to be. Next to the ice cream vendor is always a good spot.
Or next to the free pancake breakfast.
The free pancake breakfast is also a good one.
Or the Starbucks right down there.
The Starbucks is a good one,
At least now I know what all those sideways glances are for. So maybe next time I see that, I'll just go give them a hug and tell them it's okay.
There you go.
Well, it's kind of like the old person that, you know, that you go to church and it's like, you're sitting in my pew. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? Let someone else sit there. You can sit anywhere.
It's all good.
We all have our special places. You like people get their box seats that's the number of ticket that I want right there at the game. I have to be, you know, I don't know. People get kind of anal about that kind of stuff.
And that's the good thing about the car show. There is a $25 fee for the people to register their cars and show their cars, but the spectators come for free.
And I love
it. It's just marvelous. What kind of stuff, Greg, do you have ideas for things you want to do in future shows? I mean, I know that the next one's coming up in September of 2019, but that's going to be number 19. Of course, 20's coming.
I'd really like to see a lot more participation from the classic motorcycles. We opened that up this year. I think there was, in years past, there was the fear of the Hell's Angel crowd showing up.
Bikers?
I know. Bikers, so we wanted to open it up. It's a great space. We have the capacity to expand the show, close more streets in the downtown core.
Sure.
And draw in a new crowd and a new audience and dispel some of the myths.
There's a couple parking lots down there that you could actually just cordon off and say,
I'm assuming those people who own the parking lots at Lettuce.
Well, that's true.
They're ours. Yeah,
but there's a lot of groups, a lot of custom motorcycle groups, and just, you know, bike clubs that would probably love to come down and do that.
Vintage.
Interestingly enough, there's not as many custom motorcycles that are 30 years old and older.
No,
and
but
still
there are
running.
Vintage bike.
There are, but
shows
those
around
are the ones
here.
That you know that we need to spend some time reaching so that they'll come down.
Yep.
And, you know,
I might be able to give you some. I did a show for 11 years about motorcycling, so I might be able to steer some people your way.
Could be.
And we're getting towards closer to the end of our segment. And is there anything you wanted to share before we leave this segment?
I'd like to know what made you decide to add motorcycles.
Brady, you talked us into to adding them this year.
Well, for a long time that show said, you know, we're not going to do it, and it's like, well, okay, but people keep asking about it, so you know what? Let's just play and see what happens.
Well, in the last couple of years, we've had the Sabbath Keepers.
Yeah, that's right.
Show up
Roy Hood and his buds.
Great group of guys, and opening it up just made sense.
Do you remember how the show started in the first place?
Well, as most community events, somebody has an idea and they can't get it to happen.
Well, it's going to happen this coming year, September, some date, which we'll let you know.
September 8th.
There you go. Hey, thanks, Greg. Thanks, Mike. I'm glad you guys came along. We got more stuff coming and a really cool hot rod story you can tell your friends. It's right here on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E-Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Welcome back to the fourth segment. You are listening to one of the coolest shows on the earth. And Brady, this segment is called Cars Confidential.
Cars Confidential.
And where we share all kinds of stories about hot rods and cars in the past and, you know, high school things and college and just, you know, a lot
and
of
stuff
fun
we
things.
Made up.
We haven't done any of that yet. Unless the people that write
you know of.
Some of these stories sometimes seem like they might be made up.
Well.
But I love the old Car Nut book series. We're going to give a few away here in the weeks to come when we do some contests. Well, that's going to be kind of tied in when we launch our YouTube channel.
YouTube is coming at first of the year or
yes,
close
it
to
is.
It.
Close to it.
Yep.
But Brady, what do you got this week?
This week is a good one. This one, once again from book two, but of course any of the three are wonderful. This one is called The Legend of Super Weasel Spit.
Yes.
Steve Merriman shared this story, and you'll appreciate this, just being a guy with a sense of humor. One afternoon, Tim and I were pulling the front clip on Tim's Suburban that had experienced a brief encounter with an elk a few days earlier. Hey, Tim, there's some nuts that are just so darn rusted I can't budge them, and I'm afraid of snapping the heads off, and I can't get the torch close enough to get in there and warm them up some. You got anything in your bag of tricks to bust them loose? And he says, you ever tried Super Weasel Spit? With that simple question, the legend of Super Weasel Spit was born. Super Weasel Spit, you're joking, of course. Sometimes you never knew with Tim. This kind of sounded just outlandish enough to be a real product. But then again, one pant leg was going to need to be much longer than the other by the end of the day if my leg was being pulled. Okay, I'll bite. What is Super Weasel Spit? Tim walked over to the shelf on the side of his shop. He started fumbling through stuff, his ever-present cigarette dangling from his lips at an odd angle, a one-inch ash hanging from the end. He suddenly threw me a small orange can. Super Weasel Spit. Great stuff. Here you go. So I caught the 8-ounce spray can. It was nearly empty. I turned it so I could see the label that read, Kano Croil Penetrating Oil. Okay, I'll try it. Thanks. The can's about empty. Can I get it around here? Now, you know what Croil is. You've seen this stuff. It's out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the picture of the can.
Oh, yes, yes,
all right,
yes.
So everybody knows. So Napa sells it sometimes, but they always seem to be out if you find any.
It's red, if I remember right.
Isn't it? It's blue. It's
blue. Yeah. Okay, I haven't seen
it. If you find any, pick up a couple cans for me, too. So the Super Weasel spit worked out pretty well. Nothing spectacular, but it did work as advertised. Now, I didn't think much about Super Weasel spit for a long time. I did find a couple of quart cans of this stuff and some spray cans. The spray is fine, but I like putting it in my oil can rather than spraying it. You can get more on there. So I have a very good, longtime friend that I refer to as the little red-haired man. I love him like a brother, but that doesn't make him exempt from being the butt of a practical joke. The little red-haired man is not exactly an all-time leader in automotive repairs, but he will do his own maintenance on his MGB and attempt the occasional repair. One afternoon he had his MGB over and we were looking at the SU carburetors on the car. He wanted to take them off, and he was afraid he'd strip the threads if he reefed too hard on there. He says, "Bubba, over at the workbench, you grab that blue oil can and squirt some of that right on there. That should loosen them right up." 5 minutes later, carbs are off. It was apparent that they needed some work. "Hey," he says, "that's great stuff. What is it?" "Well, that's Super Weasel spit," I tried to deadpan. No, what is it really?" "Super Weasel spit. I get it special down at the Napa in town." Now, you need to know that we had a good laugh over the name when I went and bought the cans originally. Chuck at the Napa store sold me a lot of things over the years, and he thought it was pretty funny when I told him what Tim had called it. So we put the MG back together, and the little red-haired man headed home. He says, "I'm going to stop at Napa and find out if you're BSing me about, you know, weasel spit. Sounds too phony to be true." "Well, just make sure it's Super Weasel spit, because regular weasel spit doesn't work nearly as well." So as soon as he left, I ran into the house. I called Chuck down at the Napa. I said, "Chuck, remember the Super Weasel spit story?" "Yeah." "Well, I got a good friend heading your way." So a few weeks later, I stopped by the little red-haired man's house. He was out in the garage working on the car, and I happened to notice a nearly new blue oil can sitting on the shelf. Yeah, they had one can sitting on the shelf behind the counter. Somebody brought it back, and the guy gave me a real good deal. "I can't find it anywhere else, though. Nothing on the internet about it or anything. People just laugh." It was all I could do to stifle the laugh. I probably ought to swing down to the Napa and settle up for the oil can and the can of Croil, but the little redhead man has his can of Super Weasel spit. You know, this is blinker fluid.
Yes.
This is headlight tuning. It's all of that stuff. And I, up to the point I had read this story, I'd never heard of Super Weasel spit, but believe me, I'm making a can of this at home somehow. I'm going to get a label. This is perfect.
It is.
This is exactly the kind of story that everybody knows, at least one or two guys in their circle of car people who they're going to do this with. You know, it's impossible not to do it.
You take a product that's a good product and you put it in another container and you give it another name.
Well, and it's left-handed lug wrenches. It's all of that stuff.
And, you know, corporations do this all the time. They take one product, they put it in another container and they call it something else.
Oh, sure.
It's the same identical product.
Well, and the good news about this is that Croil, of course, which has been around for 100 years, really works good. It's a nice, you know, nut loosener, and it does job just fine. But putting it into something else, that's genius.
Well, and, you know, when you go to spray things on, I find that when I go to spray some silicone or spray, it gets all over everything, and it doesn't get to where I want it. Whereas if you got the little pump can or whatever, you get it right in there.
Well, you know what else works really good in situations like that?
When you do it, don't forget to hit it with a hammer to start the process of the, what did they call that? When it puts a vibration through it.
Yes.
And it allows the oil to penetrate better.
Yes, that's true.
I've done that many a time. Bam!
You know what else works good as well as, you know, WD-40 and Croil and the other stuff?
Right.
CLP. CLP is a marvelous, it's actually a cleaning oil, but it works really, really good to loosen up nuts. And you can find it, a lot of stores have it, you can get it at places like Home Depot and Lowe's and stuff like that. But the gun community loves it because it's a really good cleaner, and it's pretty aggressive at taking off, hardened on powder residues and stuff like that. But it also works really good to free up parts, and it's a great lubricant.
And the one thing about oil...
we should have them pay us now. That was a heck of a plug.
Well, and just so everybody knows, Doug's Hyundai didn't pay us to be on here.
No, but they're nice people.
And we
they're
wanted just to
nice
bring
people.
Them in because they're nice guys. They help you out with the show. And
he is going to let
and
me
Brady,
drive.
I don't mean to complain about being in a certain spot at the show.
You did just fine.
I sometimes I'm like, you know what? Actually, it was really cool because you were right. I was right across from that dragster.
You were. You had
and
a great spot.
It's like, where else are you going to get a dragster actually lighting it up?
You got free
but
snorts
they kinda ended
of
up a little
nitromethane.
Sooner. They ended up leaving a little sooner. I thought, you know, they're leaving. I'm tired.
Well, it took them a while to pack that thing
up. It did. Oh, my gosh. I'm like,
you don't just drive a dragster onto the trailer. It's a big deal.
You know, it's one thing to drive your car, park it at an event, put out your chairs or whatever. It's another thing to have like a table and an easy up like I did and all that kind of stuff.
It's big deal.
Whenever I've done trade shows in the past or car shows or cycle shows or whatever, you know, by the time I'm done interviewing people and hawking myself and getting people over to the booth, I don't even get to go visit half the show, and I'm so burned out. I don't want to see the rest of the show.
it's one of the trade-offs of being a vendor.
It is.
Hey, before we get done with this segment, I do want to say thanks to David Dickinson and the compilers and the story writers from the Old Car Nut Book series. You can get it on Amazon. We say this every week. You can also get it at theoldcarnutbook.com. There are 3 books in the series, and Christmas is coming. It would be a heck of a gift
for
the car person in your life, male or female. They would love it. And I have it on fairly good authority because I just made this up. If you have a really cool car story, if you send it in to oldcarnutbook.com, I'll bet you David would use it in a new book because I'm sure he's going to produce at least one or maybe two more.
Yeah, and I think maybe from
especially if I keep bugging him about it
on the show, we may get some really good stories.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, and who doesn't? You know, you get any 2 or 3 car people together and it's Story City. You know how that's going to work.
It is.
Every single time. Well, we got one more segment coming up where the trivia question will be prominently featured. And if you stay here, you'll hear it.
That's
I
right.
I promise.
I hope so. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored 4-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hang on till right after these messages.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can.
Yes, you can do the twist. Welcome back to the 5th and final segment of the show. This is Around the Wheel. where we talk about events, rallies, club scene, movies, cruise-ins, books, and the weekly trivia question. Dun, what do we dun, got dun, dun, this dun. Week, Brady?
And who could possibly do the El Camino Man intro better than the actual
El Camino Man?
I like your cape. It's a very nice cape.
I need to get Shane over to the house and see if we can't fire my thing up. The last time I fired up, I had a lot of clunk, 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 and I thought, nope, shut it down. And he figures there might be some reasons for that. And I'm going to talk to him.
Dead rat in the cylinder.
I don't know, but when I hear noises, I shut things down quickly. But I thought, even if I get it started, I could kind of roll it around the
I'll buy cheeseburgers.
The
we'll all go over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. Let's make that happen. So, all right, we do have a trivia question. And last week, we had a really cool trivia question. What was the very first car that actually was named and marketed as a convertible as opposed to an open car
or
a cabriolet or something else? And it was kind of a tough one. And I did give him a clue. It was bright canary yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the very first one was the 1904 Thomas Flyer. It had a removable hardtop, not a soft top.
Wow.
But they called it a convertible because it converted from hardtop to sand. And interestingly enough, we did get a response, a Facebook Messenger response. Boyd Gallagher from no other than Thompson Falls, Montana.
Awesome.
Now, do you know where Thompson Falls is?
No.
Thompson Falls is in western Montana. If you were to take 90 and go east from Seattle, you'd go through Idaho and then you'd hit Montana.
Right.
And the first, once you're through the pass, just beyond Lolo Pass,
right,
the first town you come to of any significance is St. Regis.
Okay.
And if you turn left at St. Regis, go north about 12 miles, and then take another left and go back west, you're on the other side of a little mountain range there, and you'll come to Plains about 27 miles in, and then a little farther you'll come to Thompson Falls.
I've been to St. Ignatius.
Different direction.
Different direction.
Yeah.
But
so it is the county seat of Sanders County.
Wow.
And Boyd Gallagher lived over there, and he got the Facebook messages. I know this one, and he did. So Boyd is the official winner of our coveted bucket of barn find dust, which probably there's some barn finds in Thompson Falls.
Oh, I bet there is. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So we got another good question for next week. This one's going to be a lot of fun. Cars have had, of course, radios in cars is a big deal, and that changed the way people drove because now you were distracted and you could run right into mountain lion or something. But the very first car to have its radio antenna embedded in the windshield.
Ooh.
Which was this? And was it earlier or later than you thought? Well, you're going to find out. And if you know, then you can get to us on Facebook. You can go to the Facebook page and add a comment. Or you can send us a Facebook Messenger thing. You could send us an email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. Or you could send us a smoke signal. Or you could
You could
burn some tires and set them on fire there.
Yep.
That'd be fine. Either way, you too could be the proud owner of a bucket of barn find dust.
Now,
of which there is a picture on our Facebook page with
very
Shane
good.
Standing there holding it, and he looks
now,
very
good. Now, what's interesting is radio came out when? When did they start broadcasting the first radio? Was in the 20s?
Radio. Bell. Alexander Graham Bell came up with radio. 1911, something like that.
Okay.
It's old. But putting them in cars, I don't know.
I don't know when the first radio came in a car. Right.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you. But, that may be another question down the line. I just don't know what it is. We'll find out.
Have you ever seen one of those flyers, ever?
What?
The flyer, the car?
Oh, the Thomas Flyer? Yeah. Well, there's a picture of it here.
I know, but have you ever seen one in person?
I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't. I mean, it looks like a lot of the cars from the early tens and teens, high wheels, wooden spokes, open car, leather straps around the hood.
See if we can find one of those. That'd be cool.
Yeah, well, of course, I'm sure you could Google it and put up a picture. I tell you what, when we post the show, I'll do exactly that.
Okay.
In the meantime, thanks to Greg Urban and Mike Daniels for stopping by. Thank you for liking and following our website and our Facebook page. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I am Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Slide on by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Adios.